there will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And if I've not reminded you, well, you haven't been listening. The FM Talk 106.5 app out there. Maybe you've heard me talk about it. It's waiting for you. Hopefully you get a chance to download that today at iTunes or Google Play, depending on your device. And more details coming up on how you can win exclusively through the FM Talk 106.5 app prizes. Speaking of giveaways, too, another chance at winning REO Speedwagon tickets coming up this hour. And it's great conversation to have because Mark Champeau from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo has been our guest in here a couple times talking about the rodeo and getting ready for the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament and the 88th.
That's it.
Yeah, 88th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And I've like, Mark will be in here where we talk about ticket sales and all those things that he's supposed to do. Right, and we do that, but I say, yeah, but let's talk about other things that the rodeo does. Let's talk about other things that the JCs do, because that's important to me. I don't think it gets the attention it should, because we're all fired. Yeah, fishing, the rodeo, it's fun, the party, the liars, contests, the music. But then the other side of this is what y'all do, and this is great because you brought someone in today that I always like to see, like to talk to. Usually when I'm talking to him during the rodeo, he has about 17 seconds for me because he's busy collecting data. Dr. Sean Powers from the Dolphin Island Sea Lab in as well. Gentlemen, good to see both of you.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about that relationship because you and I got into that the other day, Mark, talking about the relationship between the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and the Dolphin Island Sea Lab. So, I mean, from your perspective, Dr. Powers, I mean, data collection, right? I mean, is this a... Where else could you get the volume of fish brought to you in one place like that for data collection? I mean, it's a pretty good deal.
Oh yeah, it's impressive, and I like to remind everybody that, you know, if you just go to the rodeo site now, and if you look at the footprint that the JCs have to sell tickets and to weigh in fish, and then look at the science footprint, we're probably 2/3 of that footprint. And just in the science tent. And I always tell people that, you know, if I told my graduate students to go out and I wanted 500 specimens of this and you had 3 days to do it, they would look at me like I'm insane.
Right.
But it's more than that. It's a segment. We do a lot of surveys. We do a lot of surveys in conjunction with the state and the federal government. But the sizes that you get, the larger fish, is just something we don't encounter very often, because in a random survey, you'll sample mostly small fish.
Right. So you want there's more of them than big fish.
So imagine the opportunity to have 3,000 plus anglers out there just getting the large fish for you to sample. And so just based on just pure data and the uniqueness of the data set and how far it goes back. I mean, we've been involved for 33 some odd years, and that gives us a long-term record. Plus, it allows our graduate students to be able to do their research really cost-effectively. It's just a very impressive operation that we run.
And it's got to be, like you said, among your graduate students, but also your colleagues, other people, you know, that are PhDs like you. I wonder, I mean, you talk to them at other areas, not Dolphin Island Sea Lab, but from other sea labs, and it's like, hey, guess what we get? Look at this sampling. Look, we got people that are excited to go out and bring us the biggest, you know, representation of here are the following species.
Oh, yeah. No, the our colleagues are just always jealous, and most of them eventually come to the rodeo to do their own studies. And we host a lot of scientists. So, you know, specimens that Alabama anglers have caught are in the British Museum of History or in the American Museum
You're
of History.
Me. Really?
No, just because years and years of those scientists coming down to sample with us.
Pretty incredible. I knew it was, you know, something I was proud of here at home with the C-Lab, but to have this global footprint.
No, you can go to the Smithsonian and see tags, Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the date they collected, the people that collected it, and the purpose for it. So
pretty incredible. 33 years of relationship between the JCs and the C-Lab?
Yeah, Mark and I were talking about it. It started with my predecessor, Bob Shipp. And there was a heated altercation, almost altercation, about whether a small marlin was a white marlin or a blue marlin.
Okay.
And they're very difficult to discern when they're young. And when you bring them back from the boat. And they went back and forth, and the JCs said, well, let's go there on the C-Lab and see if somebody can resolve this before these guys get in a fight. And they filed Dr. Shipp. Dr. Shipp was able to identify it correctly and convince the angler that he was correct in the identification. And since then...
That's the genesis of it.
And since then...
That
was the late 80s. And since then... the partnership is just built and built, both from a scientific point of view, and the JCs give us a donation to support graduate education. It's probably close to about $500,000 over the years.
That is incredible. As you know, and these are, like Mark, we've talked about the things that y'all do with the money that you raise, the JCs raise through the rodeo, and you're talking about giving back to our community. That's a pretty good example right there.
Yeah, it is. It's been great to be able to partner with them, to be able to provide back. You know, they provide us such a great benefit of being on the site to, as he said, lend us their experience and knowledge of the different fish and everything else that we were able to give back to them so they can continue that with the next generation of students.
And it's our chance, too, to be participants in this, the giving back and the giving samples that could end up anywhere on the globe when we fish a rodeo. I'm going to do this part of it, too, for a second. Tickets on sale?
Tickets are on sale. Online, adsfr.com, at Fishing Chaos app, and then all of our ticket outlets, they're on sale. So make sure you go get them now.
Okay. And in addition, we'll talk more about Roy Martin and the 88th coming up. Dr. Powers, it's just good to be able to have some time to talk to you at length on some of these issues in the Gulf. So the sampling that y'all do year-round and what you see from the rodeo, what is it showing you? Any trends one way or another in changes, let's say post-oil spill or the last few years, or populations kind of where they were? Anything changing, anything of concern?
So it allows us to look at each individual species, and really there's no consistent, each individual species has slightly different. Like right now, we think red snapper is very healthy,
yes,
and it's and increasing. Now, groupers, on the other hand, gag grouper, we're worried about because of the trends we're seeing. You know, the inshore species are managed by the state, and they're very well managed. So red drum, speckled trout seem very, very healthy. Flounder seem of concern. So, you know, figuring out...
And then some regulations came in to limit it, although, and completely unscientifically, this is not Dr. Powers, this is just Hayseed Sullivan talking about a lot more flounder pictures this year after those regulations went in. Like, you know, I know it's not that fat, but I mean, just anecdotally, I see people starting to catch flounder again. So.
No, I mean, and that's a fairly quick response. And what we've learned...
Yeah, I know
learned,
it's not scientific.
But what we've learned is these fish have a great ability to respond quickly. For decades, we thought, well, it would take forever to rebuild red snapper. But no, some more regulation, and we were able to rebuild it quickly. Flounder, I hope, is the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some species like sharks and others that their life history is such that they're going to take a long time. But the for the bony fish, you know, they recover quite quickly. And one of the key metrics of that is to see how many large fish are in the population. And that's why it gets back to the rodeo. That gives us an opportunity to see how many large fish are in there. And since they've gone to total digital records, we mm-hmm. have complete records going back now
run,
5 years.
Run that data, mm-hmm. run it through and I can imagine the value of that if you go and you put year after year after year and see trends or things going on in those numbers.
Yes, and we've published papers on that, won awards on those papers that reconstructed shark catches and reconstructed tuna catches just using rodeo records. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It's also an opportunity for my students to interact with the public and mm-hmm. get those skills to be able to talk to the public and explain well what they're doing. Because sometimes, you know, anglers are wrong with an identification. So
right.
you have to explain to them why it's this species and not that species. I mean, the most common is a lot of people will bring in a small king mackerel and think it's a gigantic Spanish mackerel.
Right. Yes.
So to be able to communicate to the public, teach them, is a valuable skill for my students to learn as well.
Yeah, and it's you get the hands-on if you're showing them like the difference in lateral line or something like that. Mm-hmm. They not just in a book, that fish is laying there, you know, on the board in front of them, and they can learn. Right then. All right. I'm going to run the break and come back. More of this discussion. It's very interesting, the relationship between, and now I got the story of how this started. I never knew. The relationship between the Dolphin Island Sea Lab and the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, both gems in the crown of South Alabama, what it means to live here. We'll continue this conversation and get your questions. I got a few coming in right now at 343-0106, so you can get those in here, and we can answer those. Are we going to compete? So this is, Preston says he's been to 30 plus Alabama deep sea fishing rodeos. Let's see what the top number is on rodeos. I'm 40 now. Oh yeah, I never thought about that way, but I'm probably pretty close to you, Preston. I'll compute the numbers or have Dr. Powers do it, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And good to have Mark Chambeau from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and Dr. Sean Powers as representing the Dolphin Island Sea Lab and just a guy I'd like to get to talk to. I don't know how many questions I asked you during the commercial break, and probably 50. We'll get those addressed on a new show. But, you know, you also chair the Marine Sciences Department at the University of South Alabama, senior marine scientist, Dolphin Island Sea Lab, and this relationship that works on at least two levels I can see here with the donations the JCs give to you. You said totaling
half a million dollars.
$500,000 so far. And on top of that, the wealth of samples for a marine biology program.
Oh, no. It, like I said, it's incredible. We try to share the wealth with as many institutions as we can. But my lab manager often has a problem trying to figure out, you know, how we can handle all the requests from all of the different institutions. You know, so that's a good problem to have. The JCs are always great about even expanding our footprint and our resources that they give. And like I said, it's an impressive operation. Both science is obviously the JCs, but yeah, you know, I encourage the public to look at just the science operation sometimes and engage the students. You know, sometimes they're a little shy, but once you get them talking, they won't stop.
And just like the text line is here, it's almost like the line lined up at the rodeo site. Questions, I'll just pick a couple here. Don's got a question on, is there mercury sampling going on of the flesh and the bud line? And I guess, I would guess kings, he didn't say what fish, but are y'all doing anything on mercury?
Yes, we have in the past. We don't plan to this year. We repeat that sampling about every 5 years. Now, there's government agencies that monitor that, but we have specific research projects associated with it. And you're right, king mackerel, large king mackerel in particular, generally have a heavy mercury load. Sharks have a heavy mercury load. And the really large bull reds have a heavy mercury load.
Another reason to turn them back, y'all. All right. Question here. Texter says, random curiosity, what is the most unique or interesting sea creature that's made its way to the rodeo or the Dauphin Island Sea Lab?
So I can't answer that for the Sea Lab, that but I can probably for the rodeo. One of the categories, well, it's not a category for determining master angler, but it's a category we sponsor, is the most unusual fish. And
right.
We were talking about records. And one of the things we've noticed is that we get more and more tropical species in here. Warming ocean,
yes.
Makes sense. And so we're always fascinated with the most unusual category. And it's kind of an objective decision on the scientist's part. What is the most unusual? There's some restrictions. You have to catch it by hook and line, so mm-hmm. and it has to be a fish.
yeah, so there you go.
Exactly. So some of the deep sea scorpion fishes are really, really cool. You should warn your listeners yeah. that be careful with the dorsal spine. It can be venomous.
Hence scorpion fish. That is a clue, the naming there. So and it's, man, there's so much I want to ask you about there, because it is nuanced. Unique by its rarity in an environment where it's supposed to be, or unique because it's not supposed to be there. I mean, that's got to be part of the challenge, right?
It's part of the challenge. It's a rarity that you know, somebody would bring it in this region. Sometimes it's just because a lot of people don't fish really, really deep. And that's
right.
where you usually get the really, really unusual things like snake mackerel and just a host of these deep sea scorpion fishes. So I'd say probably most of the most unusual have come from the really deep sea fishermen.
What about in the changing temperatures, you know, in the Gulf? Like, we hear stories a couple of years ago, heard two or three snook being caught between Mobile and Baldwin counties, or maybe it was Northwest Florida and Baldwin County. You know, they were juveniles or whatever. It's a long way north.
Yep. And I like snook.
So. Yeah, I kind of would like that. Yeah.
But one of the maintenance guys came to me and he said, well, we caught a snook under the dock at the Sea Lab. I was like, you did not catch a snook. And I said, you must have misidentified. He goes, no, it's a snook. So I walked down and sure enough, it was a snook. It was about 2 or 3 years ago and it was right at the Dauphin Island Sea Lab dock. So
now I know where I'm fishing. Now I know we're throwing a live bait into.
But we do see more and more of these tropical species showing up, and some that are just getting more abundant. Lane snapper is one that's getting more and more abundant.
So it is. It's not just okay. So it is getting more, because we've talked about that on the boat before. Is it just, are we fishing
it's
different
a more
spots
tropical
or
species? It's always been here, but it's a more tropical species, so it should increase in abundance. Some people think the same thing for gray snapper. We see changes, and we see them at the rodeo, and we see them from talking to the anglers.
And with the most unusual fish, it's really interesting, because I was telling Dr. Shaughness earlier, is some of my favorite experiences are watching him in the past years, him and Dr. Bob, look at these and just watch them in such conversations back and forth, saying, trying to identify, you know, it's this identification marker or this type of fin or whatever, and to have them to have to argue it out about what the fish actually is really very interesting.
This is a lot of fun. Can't wait to get down there and start fishing. Website again, tickets on sale through the website.
ADSFR.com.
All right, gentlemen, great to see you. Thanks for being in today.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.